Welcome to the Steve and I Show. Hope you're having a great Monday. We're going to try our best to make it better for you. Tonight, we welcome the one and only Angie Stone. She has a brand new album out called Love Language. She's here to talk all about it and more about her career and things you don't even know about her. Find out what she has to think about Black Music Month. You know, it's the last day of that. Then in Hot Topics, breaking down everything everyone's talking about, we have to recap the 2023 BET Awards aired last night. A lot of discuss about that. Then found about this TikToker who he was invited to go on that submarine that went down to see the Titanic shipwreck. He ended up going because of some of the issues they were having. And he's thankful, obviously, because he's alive to tell the story, but he sends condolences to those that we lost. Then there's a town, Villarica, who they are under fire because they had pictures of Black men that they were using. White people were doing target practice on images of Black men. Find out what the community is saying about that and some of the backlash. And then find out about this woman. She is from Kentucky. She was visiting her boyfriend in El Paso, Texas. She shot and killed her Uber driver because she thought he was kidnapped or taken to Mexico. Find out what authorities are saying and what the man's family is saying. Want to remind you all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course our official website, StephenKnightShow.com. You can also check us out on TikTok. When we come back, question of the day and hot topics, right back after this.
Have you ever been somewhere? Feels like everybody's watching you, and every little thing you do, every little way you move, something's not right. Could it be that I didn't fix my hair? Why would they even care about mine? I don't know why they keep looking my way. What could it be? Why they staring at me? I wish they'd turn away. Maybe it's 'cause you're nice. Maybe it's 'cause you're beautiful. Maybe they're just too shy to let you know. It's 'cause you're glad. Look at your reflection, and don't worry about perfection. Love who's in the mirror and then hold her. You should know why they keep looking your way, and why they choose you again and again, and cannot turn away. Maybe it's 'cause you're not.
will confine me to bedfield days in a cloud-filled haze. My presence, love, inspires me. Ruminating, no more rumination of thoughts that ruminate infinitely. Who I be, where I be, why can't I seem to see what they see all in me? Why do I sit in silence, isolated, all in greatness? How do I say this in a way that might sound hypocritical? What does it profit a man? Belief in self can feel selfish. What does it profit a man to gain the world? What does it profit a man to gain the world? Thinking no one knows who we really are. God sees our hearts, gives us all the words to ease our pain in BIBLE. What does it profit a man to gain the world? Go.
Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Angie Stone, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. Keep it locked.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. Hope you're having a great Monday. I'm going to try and make it better for you. Tonight, we welcome the one and only Angie Stone. This is a brand new album out called Love Language, so she joins us to talk about all of it and her career and what she thinks about Black Music Month. One of my drawers over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, our official website, thestephennightshow.com. Follow us on TikTok, Stephen Knight Show. Check out our new merch. It's available. Cheeky has on the hat, as you see. and as you know, this is the last week of Black History Month. And again, that's just where we take some time to celebrate the achievements of Black artists. And what the contributions to a genre. I'm sorry.
Me and I were looking at you sideways.
Oh, Black Music Month. Black Music Month. I'm sorry. I said Black History Month. But Black
it's all right. We're all human.
We are. And this is our last Monday for a few months because we're going on our summer break. So, you know, a little excited, but we're going to have a great show for you. Now, while we were out, Lania celebrated a birthday. How was it?
It was good. I had a good time. I ain't going to talk about nobody who didn't show up, but he knew about it, though. I ain't going to talk about him, though, but he knew about it. He knew about one part of it. Uh-huh. I ain't going to talk about him because he wasn't there. But I ain't going to talk about him. That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
Now I know that he can keep a secret. So he can't be trusted. But other than that, it was a good weekend. Good. I had a good time. Wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
Like I said, somebody wasn't there, but I enjoy it myself. I'm gonna keep on saying it. So.
Right.
I don't care. Blink.
Well, happy belated birthday. We also had Juneteenth last Monday. That's what we were on last Monday. And Miss Parker, she hosted us all at her house. So we got to have some good food. We talked about the meaning of Juneteenth. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. And I said, you know what Juneteenth represents, right? Yeah, that's when they murdered that one guy. No. So we had to school some people on what Juneteenth really represents and why we recognize. Oh. Anyway, so our question of the day is, if you could pick one, what's the single most important lesson you've learned from past relationships? Lania.
The one thing that pops into my head, what you did for the person and with the person before me will not apply to me because I'm a completely different breed. Mm-hmm. I'm not, it's not copy and paste over here.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't bring in old baggage into something new. We all have baggage, so let me clarify that. Don't bring in extra baggage that creates BS and drama and chaos and confusion. Your regular baggage is fine because we all got it. But anything extra, and you know what that is, if you're honest with yourself, keep it over there because mm-hmm. I don't want it.
Yeah, yeah. Chike, what about you?
Two things stand out. Everyone gets a clean slate in the beginning. And patience.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. I was going to say what Nia said, you know, like for me, heal from your relationship, grow from your relationship, and make sure you take care of all that before you move on. Because we will take things that someone had nothing to do with that last situation and put that on them. So
I'll make sure. You know what? The only issue with that is it's left up to the individual's interpretation, not yours.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But you also have to understand yourself, too, and realize if you're seeing the same patterns, you might not be fully healed. But I just was reading some of the things on our Facebook page. One said, stop ignoring the obvious. Someone said, don't ignore red flags. People are not going to love you the way you love them. Or people are not going to love you the way that you love you. If she said, someone said, remember what you started with is what you'll end up with. Someone said, weigh your options. Someone said, question everything. Several people said, stay single. Some people said, trust your gut. And some people said, have self-esteem. But yeah, a lot of good things. But tweet us at home and let us know if you could pick one, what is the most single important lesson you've learned from past relationships? Steve and I Show, SHO. All right, well, the 2023 BT Awards, known as Culture's Biggest Night, aired last night live from Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles. The show honored the 50th anniversary of hip-hop and delivered iconic performances from acts new and old. Current hitmakers like Gorilla, Spice, Lil Uzi Vert took the stage, as did legends like Big Daddy Kane, Ja Rule, Master P, Remy Ma, Soulja Boy, the Sugar Hill Gang, Gang Twins, Trina, and just to name a few. Now, Coco Jones, she won for Best New Artist, and rappers Offset and Quavo, who honored fellow Migos member Takeoff, who was killed in November, also performed. Patti LaBelle led a tribute to Tina Turner, the late Tina Turner, who died in May. LaBelle performed Tina Turner's hit, Simply the Best, and although the icon messed up some of the lyrics, she owned it and finished her performance strong. Beyonce and SZA, neither who attended the show, won 3 awards, each during the telecast, including their tie for Album of the Year for Renaissance and SOS, respectively. They weren't the only tie, though. Chris Brown and Usher tied for Best Male R&B Pop Artist. SZA also took home Best Female R&B Pop Artist and Video of the Year for Kill Bill, while Beyonce won the Viewer's Choice Award at the BET Her Honor for Break My Soul. Drake and 21 Savage won Best Group with Lotto, while Lotto was named the Best Female Hip-Hop Artist and Kendrick Lamar named the Best Male Hip-Hop Artist. One of the most memorable moments of the night was when Tiana Spike Tay Taylor, who was not in the ceremony, won Video Director of the Year and gave her acceptance speech via video call from her mom on stage. Her mom had the video up. After a short video about Busta Rhymes' accomplishments in the industry, featuring commentary from stars like Diddy, Pharrell Williams, Janet Jackson, Dave Chappelle, and more, Marlon Wayans and Swizz Beatz presented him with this year's Lifetime Achievement Award. So I'm not going to wear it on my sleeve. I do want to cry, he said before wiping away tears and delivering a moving speech on getting started in industry. He later performed a medley of some of his biggest hits. Now, the show did last 4 hours, and because there were no writers, it was mainly performances. So did you watch? And what were your thoughts? I'll start with you, Chike.
I did not watch. I was working for the Stephen Knight Show. And I did catch the highlights. I mean, okay. Nothing spectacular. Nothing really stood out for me. I do not like the business of ties, though. I don't like that. Yeah. It reminds me of... You know, every kid on the team gets a trophy. No, there's a reason that you get a trophy. Let the other kids strive for that. So there needs to be one, not a tie.
Yeah. Linnea, what were your thoughts?
I didn't watch it, partly because, in the words of Ryan Davis comedy, the BET Awards is not what it used to be.
Amen.
It has, and it was even worse without writers. I will say this. I absolutely love Busta Rhymes, and this was well overdue, and his speech was amazing.
Yes.
That was the only thing I went searching for today. And listening to him, because you can tell Buster is genuine and he's real because people love him. And you ain't heard nothing about Buster being in no mess. So I absolutely am happy that he was presented the award he was presented with. But as for everything else, I don't know how true it is with this whole Tyler Perry buying BET thing, but I need a revamp. We
Yeah.
need Black excellence. And we need that to show. And it needs to start with that show. And somebody made a good point about how, like with Coco Jones, she has a beautiful voice. And I know that there are people that she grew up listening to, and none of those people were in the audience. You should it was just TikTokers and love hip hop type people. Who, that's not who I grew up aspiring to sing in front of when it comes to an award show.
Yeah.
I don't want to see them people.
Right.
So outside of that, I mean, there was no interest for me.
Yeah.
Definitely could have been a way better celebration of culture, especially going back. There's some things that and you're BET.
Yeah.
That should be way more than what it was. And you could have damn sure condensed that 4 hours. But you were just trying to fill up time, whatever that was. And I heard Patty was messing up on words. But y'all ain't got no writer, so y'all ain't putting that in the book. You should have put it in the book.
Yeah.
And kept it moving.
Well, so I did watch it only because I was home and I said, oh, the BET Awards come on tonight. And so I watched it and, you know, I was reading some of the commentary online and they're saying how it looked like the Source Awards.
Oh.
There was a clip I saw on Instagram before we started here where there was this rapper, this new rapper. She was literally twerking that song Pound Town and dancing at Pound Town with her money in front of gospel legend Bobby Jones. You know?
Well, can I add this? Can I say this? When did it change that we went to award shows? Or something of that stature where you had to put on your good clothes and your hard shoes, and you get into fights and arguments in your relationship
Yeah.
in the audience.
Yeah.
Like when did we get that to that part?
Yeah.
Can I?
You know, it used to be a point in time you respect the auditorium. If you're
Yeah.
an artist, you respect an auditorium.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
what you're taught.
Can I touch on that, please? That girl, JT. I don't care what happened in that moment. What you don't ever do is put your hands on a man and then disrespect him verbally because your feelings is you and your feelings. Because part of the issue is women think that they can do whatever they want to do when it comes to that.
Yep.
And if he would have put his hands back on her, this would be a completely different story. It'll be on all the news cycles. She threw a phone at him
In
and
his
then
face.
proceeded to call him all kinds of disrespectful names. And nobody checked her.
Right.
She needed to be checked. Because if he put his hands on her, then it would be a completely different story.
Yep.
Period.
Yeah.
But people were like, oh, yeah, you got, they were kind of like, congratulating her, like showing her love, like she did something good. Like that wasn't.
And if he decided to sue, like a woman would sue, what kind of situation would that be?
Let him go to the police to say that she beat on him.
Double standards. Double
Double
standards.
standards.
Yep.
this is what I mean by when some women be bold enough to put their hands on men, then you have an expectation that that man is not supposed to put his hands back on you. Some men were raised, don't touch a woman. Some men were raised, if somebody hits you, you hit their ass back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That don't mean they bang. That just means this is what I was taught. You're not going to put your hands on me.
Mm-hmm.
But
I
okay.
want to sum all that up to say to Mr. Tyler Perry, all of this starts with a new, wholesome, excellent BET.
Exactly.
We need that.
Yeah.
Starts with BET.
Put on some clothes.
Yeah. And to Pat Labelle's defense, she had a teleprompter. She was doing this tribute to Tina Turner. People were dancing in front of it so she couldn't see. And that's why, but people were saying she didn't.
Why didn't that auntie up like that? They set her up.
Some people said she knows she ain't come to rehearsal.
She didn't. You know, Patty ain't doing no damn rehearsal.
But she looked great though. She looked great. And she did. She did end strong. But yeah, so that was BET Awards. All right. Well, J. Kohler, he's a YouTuber known as Dalme, and he's going viral after revealing that he was almost a passenger on board the Titan submarine that was found in pieces earlier last week after going dark. YouTuber also revealed that before the deadly mission, the sub experienced several minor malfunctions days before the implosion that killed all five people aboard. As previously reported, the sub set out on a mission to see the 1912 RMS Titanic shipwreck, which now sits nearly 13,000 feet below the ocean surface, early Sunday morning, June 18th. But shortly after taking off, the sub lost all communications, prompting a multinational and days-long search and rescue effort. Sadly, the latest submarine exploration ultimately resulted in the death of its five passengers aboard. The names of the five Ocean Gate passengers are Hamish Harding, he's 58, Shazaza Haywood, 48, Solman Hadwood, 19, Stockton Rush, 61, and Paul Henry Nagoliat, he's 77. Now, prior to the fatal implosion, the YouTuber, he vlogged himself inside the Titan sub. During this now haunting video, he showed his time on board and how the trip was canceled due to a series of major malfunctions just days before the same vessel imploded and killed five people. His video, which is a little over 26 minutes, was posted Friday, this past Friday, and his vlog, he said, if my dive wasn't canceled, it could have been me inside that submarine today. Before getting into his own experience aboard the dangerous sub, he began to reveal how heartbroken he was over the deaths of the five crew members. And so I saw some of this when this all happened, and even prior to really people knowing what happened to the ship when they were doing the rescue, there were a lot of people making jokes about it and you know, saying these are billionaires and why should we care? This has nothing to do with us and whatever. And then even after they found out that these people were dead, there were still jokes about the sea mission. I don't think they were joking about the people dying, but what is this culture that we are just so insensitive to human life? Linnea, what are your thoughts on that?
Let me choose my words very carefully. I send condolences out to the people who lost their lives.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this. I would have liked for the news cycle to cover a story about the 700 migrants drowning.
Yep.
Because of the Greek Coast Guard.
Yep.
Because that story didn't get any coverage the way that this other story did. And I'm sorry that I'm not, you know, my condolences, but I pray more for those migrants, those 700. You know, escaping trying to some form of, you know, trying to find a better life.
Yeah.
Versus someone who purposefully decided to do something just because they could. And it's a conversation that Chica and I have already had. Mm-hmm. That thing about thumbing your nose up at God just because you can. I'm done.
And the interesting thing about this, apparently, to take this voyage, you had to sign this paperwork, and it explicitly said death. It mentioned death several times, but then you had to sign the waiver of, God forbid, something happened to you. I saw an interview this morning with, there was a mother who she lost her husband and her 9-year-old son on this voyage, and I believe she gave up her seat for him because he really wanted to go, her son. Chicken, what are your thoughts on all this?
So, my condolences to the family. Of course, any type of life loss is a tremendous, heartbreak. And my condolences go out to the family. But there's another political side that I won't go into. Actually, if you would go to my stories in my Instagram, there's a post in there that explains exactly that, how I feel. But there's a systematic political thing that is the space where the insensitivity is bred. And through that, I can understand why people are making jokes and saying what they're saying. Not my style, but I can see why. So if you choose to, go to my Instagram stories, check it out.
Well, our condolences are to those people that were on board, but also that guy, that YouTuber, the fact that he his life was spared because he didn't go, he wasn't able to go. So,
God said no.
I hope that this is not a let me capitalize off of this moment for
I thought
him.
about that.
You understand what I'm saying? But I also want to say that The Simpsons never miss, because there was an episode about
Oh,
something that's on The
they never miss.
Simpsons, and Homer was in this contraption going down in the ocean. The Simpsons never miss. I
And
don't know who they write.
we love Amazon, but they ain't. Apparently they are releasing Titanic back on Amazon. They tweeted.
Actually, it's already up. I saw it up. It's up already.
Oh, it is up
They
now.
did not miss a beat.
Capitalize. All right. Well, a video of a white people taking target practice using an image of a black man has left many people outraged in a local city. Villarrica Mayor Gil McDougall has ordered that the images be removed from social media and also asked for an investigation to the matter. The police department posted a short video clip of white citizens using an image of a black man for target practice at its firearms training course over the weekend. It also posted pictures. The post got more than 500 comments and more than 400 shares. People in the community who saw the images called it offensive and disgusting. One local man in the community, Emmanuel Mincy, went to the police department and filed a complaint saying it sends the wrong message to the black community. "Hey guys, we shoot at you for target practice," he said. Many wondered why there were no images of white people used for the target practice, but the chief claims that they were used, just not posted on social media like the black images were. He said that day they started with that target, and while pointing at the image of a white man. So he was pointing at the image of a white man saying, "This is what we started with." They ran out of those targets at the range and they put these targets up as he pointed to the image of a black man. He said, someone should have noticed the message it would have sent. He said, it seemed like you could see right from the moment that you put those pictures up that they were going to be in question. And the police chief said that his officers just missed it. We don't notice this because we don't look at that. Therefore, it was a mistake. Now, the images have been removed from the department's Facebook page. The mayor asked that the comments remain and said that the city will have an independent firm investigate what happened. Hidalgo said people are calling and emailing the city and they are responding to each person one by one. He said that he wants to be transparent and let people know that this shouldn't have happened and won't happen again. So, do we buy that there were image? Well, if there were images of white people being shot, why were the only ones that posted online the black images? Linnea,
Bullshit.
what are your thoughts?
I call bullshit. I've been to the gun range before, and I know if I saw something like that, one, I'm gonna complain. Two, I'm not going back to that gun range
Yeah.
because that tells me how you feel.
What
All you
happened to
got.
the just the black image, like the black, like the silhouette of a person?
They still have that, and then they have like ones they have on like the old school robber
Yeah.
mask or whatever, and a Scully. You know what I mean? It all depends. They have different ones. You can actually pick what target you want. But somebody had to make it
Yeah.
and then put it out there. And I would venture to say that most of the picked that one to shoot at. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Chicken, what are your thoughts on this?
So I know you can hang someone in effigy. Can you shoot someone in effigy? Is that a thing? Because that's an issue. That's an issue. But I tell you this, they might want to change the pictures to robots because that's who we're going to be fighting.
Yeah,
We're going to need each other against the robots.
that's true.
So why do they have to be human at all? That, I mean, black or white or green or purple or orange, why do they have to be humanoid?
Yeah.
So you want to murder people? Just saying.
Well, this last story is very crazy. A Kentucky woman has been charged with murder for reportedly shooting and killing her Texas Uber driver after mistakenly believing he was kidnapping her and taking her to Mexico. As of Sunday, Phoebe Copas has remained behind bars since June 16th shooting death of 52-year-old Daniel Piedra Garcia, according to Associated Press. Piedra allegedly drove Copas while she was visiting her boyfriend in El Paso, situated on the U.S.-Mexican border. The 48-year-old told authorities that she panicked during the ride after spotting a road sign that showed Juarez, Mexico, was only 7 miles away. She said that she believed that Piedra was kid had kidnapped her and was taking her to Mexico, police said. Acopa was then reportedly pulled a loaded handgun from her purse and shot Piedra in the head, causing the vehicle to crash moments later. Piedra's family eventually took him off life support several days after the hospitalization. Docs allegedly told them that he would never recover. His niece, she described Piedra as a hardworking family man, according to the El Paso Times. He was a hardworking man, really funny. He was never in a bad mood. He was always the one that, if he saw you in a bad mood, he'd come over and try to uplift you. Now, meanwhile, investigators refute Copas' claim that she was being kidnapped. An arrest affidavit stated Piedra's car was never in close proximity of a bridge, port of entry, or any area that immediately access the travel to Mexico. Police further told the press that he never veered off her destination. So, the app has a destination for Uber. Piedra's niece said that she wishes that Copa just would have spoken up and asked questions if she felt scared instead of acting on impulse and making a reckless decision. She said, "I wish you could have just spoke up and asked questions, not act on impulse and make a reckless decision, because not only did she ruin our lives, but she ruined her life too. We just want justice for him. That's all we're asking." Now, his wife, she has set up a GoFundMe page, and it's earned over $81,000 as of today. Those interested in donating, they can find that online. But the Copas remains held on a $1.5 million bond. She was initially charged with aggravated assault. However, the charge was later upgraded to murder following Patriots' death. So, why do you just pull out a gun and shoot somebody in the head? Why don't you ask, "Hey, where are we going?" And if she had the app on her phone, she can see the map. It shows you the direction. So, what do you think really going on here, Chica?
I'm not making excuses, but I'm thinking that she probably fell asleep and she woke up and saw that sign and flipped out. I don't think that she thought at all. I think she
Yeah.
just saw what she saw, misunderstood. She's just waking up. And I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. Linnea, what are your thoughts on this?
I thought I saw something that said the alleged sign she thought she said she didn't see. In order to just pull out a gun and shoot somebody in the head, you got to be of a certain mindset.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't. If you thought that this man was trying to kidnap you, one, how long was she in the car for?
Right.
Right? How long were you in the car for? And how far were you from your destination?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause those are things that you have to look at. And if you thought that your life was in immediate danger and you have a gun, could there have been other steps she could have taken before just shooting this man in the head?
Mm-hmm.
And this happened in Texas. I know she's from Kentucky, but this happened in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew that you could open carry.
Everyone gets a gun.
Yeah.
You knew that you could open carry in Texas. So you knew that much. I don't buy it. I don't buy this. I thought he was kidnapping me. I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
Because even if she
I did, think,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I'm saying even if she thought that she could take the gun, hey, where are you going? You know what I mean? She could have used that. Yeah. Right, right. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you all for Hot Topics. Enjoy your summer break. And I want to see some tans when we come back in September. And Lydia, thank you as always. Cheeky, I'll see you in movie reviews. And when we come back, our interview with Angie Stone right back after this.
I said that you pass, she waiting, she checking, she looking, and she not know what they are talking. I told her that trouble, she causing the way that she rocking and shaking her too much. Only not far too matter, put it on me like she from Kakata. All the men in Skata, that all been it, I want you not track like. When you tie your lapa, and you wear your skin test. When you rocking your tumma, Bange, I want marry you. Chamu, I want take you. Anything you want, I give it to you. Take my name, my money, my car, my clothes, my everything, my everything. Oh, Safari, Bange never Safari, Safari. I'm rely on the waiting, but I'm in the setting. That's the nigga they chasing. For the jupa she jacking. Bange never suffer, suffer. Bange never suffer, suffer. I'm relying on the waiting, but I'm in the setting. That's the nigga they chasing. For the jupa she jacking.
What play you non see funk get capping? Like I said before, hungry line blocking. You leave it, another scam and we'll bop it. Grab it, squeeze it, we drop it. That it done, you will be trying how to catch it. You know you missing a casa by Rebete. You fix it, old fire joint how to catch it. Then you won't speak serious now till they get. Pretty girl, let me take you out of dinner. I got a cheddar, forgive me, I was a sinner. Gonna be better from January down to December. Take trips, go to spas, even in the winter. So sexy, gorgeous, and beautiful. Everything everything that we do is so memorable. I'm feeling you from your head down to your toes. Don't have to speak on it, I'm gonna show.
Anytime she walking, the boy them be watching. Anytime she walking, the boy them be jaking. Baby girl, you temptation. Anytime you turn girl, you confusion. Baby girl, you temptation. Anytime you turn girl, you confusion. Baby girl, you blow my mind. No way. Anytime you turn.
Right to your soul.
Let's do it together.
Hey, what's up, y'all? We're Rough Ends.
And you're rocking with the Stephen Knight Show right here.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Our next guest is a singer, MC, self-taught keyboardist, and a prolific songwriter. You know the songs, No More Rain in This Cloud, Wish I Didn't Miss You, Brother, and More Than a Woman are just a few of her hits. She recently released her 10th studio album, Love Language. Please help me welcome the one and only multi-platinum award-winning singer, songwriter, Angie Stone. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
It is an honor to have you on the show. I've been following your career forever, so this is a pleasure. Oh,
thank you.
Well, you know, I was doing my research and I didn't realize that you were in two trios prior to going solo.
The sequence. You didn't know about the sequence?
No, I didn't know about the sequence at all. So how did those early days, in the 70s and the 90s prepare you for this big solo career that you would embark upon?
Wow. I have been, it's been close to 50 years now. I've been doing this, being prepared as early as 17 years old and still be in the game. I'm used to it. I've been doing it so long.
Right.
It's next to, it's a family member at this point, being the game this long. It's just like having, an arm or a leg or whatever. It's a part of who I am. The fabric of Angie Stone is that chick who's been doing it forever and a day.
Absolutely. And when did you know early on, I know you started young, when did you know that you had the gift that you have?
I used to be in the mirror every day singing all kinds of songs. And one day I just realized when I knew that I didn't have a career choice other than being a star, mm-hmm. I knew, okay, this must be my calling because I don't have a desire to be anything else.
Right. And I know you've done acting. Obviously, you've done music. You also did a reality show, R&B Divas. What is that something that you would ever do again, like a reality show? Would you ever embark upon a reality show again?
I've done several reality shows and television shows, In the Cut, Moesha, Girlfriends, Fighting Temptations, The Hot Chick. You name it, I've pretty much done it at this point.
I mean, in terms of like a reality show, though, because
I did the R&B Divas. That's as real as it got.
Would you do it? Do another reality show is what I'm asking.
Would I do another one? Yeah, I do another one.
Yeah, that's good. Well, listen, I told you before we started filming, you look amazing. And I heard that you have healthy approach on life. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I started going vegan about 10 years ago. I was a diabetic. I'm no longer a diabetic. I started to switch my diet because, of course, diabetes, high blood pressure run in a lot of Black families. And of course it was in mine. And I had to really get control of those things as I had chronic high blood pressure. I was chronic diabetic. And now because of the lifestyle changes, those things are not as prominent in my life.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that. Was it hard going vegan? I tried going vegan and I like wings too much. So what's hard?
I tell you this, it is hard going vegan. I went that way because I was in a position where it's do or die. I did it. And then I was told I needed to eat more protein. So I slowly got back into eating meat. I'm very, very selective at what I do eat, but I don't gouge in meat. So, it's just discipline. It's self-discipline.
Absolutely. And do you cook?
I used to cook a lot. I don't cook as much anymore, but yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, it's definitely paying off because you look amazing. You look amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the new album. This is your 10th studio album. I can't believe it's 10 already, but it's Love Language and it's available now wherever you buy your music. What was your inspiration into going into this new project?
Well, this was by far my least concerned project. I didn't want to do this album. I wasn't excited about it. My management, my team kind of pushed the issue and I did it more for them than for me. And instead of being elated at the time. I was just like, oh, y'all just want a record. Y'all don't care about me. And they just said, just follow our lead. And they pushed me. And I ended up in 2 weeks getting this album done, pushing myself harder than I'd ever done before. And it actually has paid off because this album is by far one of the best albums I've done. Everybody loves it. Mm-hmm. And I'm in shock, really.
Yeah. And I heard that it took you back when you were recording this project, it took you back to your sophomore project, Mahogany Soul. Like, you feel like it took you back to that energy and that feel good music. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I just think we didn't have any great music that kind of premiered or mirrored that, mm-hmm. you know, segue of joy. And I just feel like this album kind of touches on all of those issues. We're happy. It's so funny because all of us are requesting a song from the album, but it's either a different song or the same song. And so we run into a person that says, okay, I need for you to play this song off the album. We'll bust out laughing because either it's the same song or it's another song that we didn't think was going to be the one, but everybody is picking and choosing their song. So yeah. I'm going to ask you, what's your favorite song?
Listen, I was just listening to Kiss You. That song right there and the song with your son. We're talking about the song with your son, Old Thing Back. But Kiss You, I said, I see why they picked that as the first single. That song was
was the first single. Yeah. Kiss You was the first single. People are starting to love Old Thing Back.
Yeah.
I love the feeling is coming up. Good Man is coming up. And what is it? All I Need is my favorite.
Oh, that's your favorite? That's your favorite?
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. And then you teamed up with Music Soul Child on The Gym.
Yeah.
And so how was it like working with him?
Oh, he's always good working with him because he's a genius. He makes you better than you are.
Yeah, yeah. So you said you recorded a song in 2 weeks. When you're recording it, how do you know, okay, the record is done? Like, it's done. I've done my thing. We're good. How do you know that as an artist once you've hit that milestone?
You don't know that it's done until you're done doing it. I just got so sick of recording it over, and because you try to keep recording it because you think you can get it better until you get frustrated and say, I'll just go with that.
And it starts sounding the same, like, oh, okay. And so you said that you're apprehensive about doing this project, but you're so excited about the final
Yes.
When you're building up for that release, were you feeling that energy already? Like, oh, we got something good on our hands.
Well, I think I'm excited when everyone else is excited.
Yeah.
I hear the hoopla, but I'm the girl from the Show Me State. And I have to admit, SIG showed me what they meant, because they would say, okay, you watch. And we put this out and we put this out and we put this out. I'm like, it's whatever. You know, and then when they started doing it and it started becoming, you know, a mainstay, I was like, oh, wait a minute now. When I heard Kiss You, and then a week later, I heard The Gym on the radio. I got Kiss You and The Gym. And then right after that, I heard Good Man on the radio. Man. I got three songs playing. I'm like, okay, wait a minute.
Are we doing?
I've never heard that before. So within a three-week span, we had four songs playing on the radio.
Yeah. It's surprising. You're still surprised at that because you've had such
I am surprised that they actually listened and followed my lead. But that's what I tell you, you know, when you're with the right people, money is no object.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have a video for Good Man, and it features for Good Man, it features Terrell Carter, who we all know, actor, model. How's it like working with him?
Well, Terrell Carter and I are like brother and sister. Okay. We've known each other for umpteen years. We used to do acting plays over 20 years ago.
Okay.
He was you know, when Brother was a big song and I was really out there as a solo artist, Terrell was still coming up. I spent a lot of time, you know, encouraging him, helping him, and, you know, being a voice of reason for him. So it was a no-brainer when I said I needed somebody to play the lead. It was like say no more, I'm on my way. So it's always good working with him because I've always believed in him. We've always had a certain level of respect for one another.
Absolutely.
That was good. I thought he was perfect for the role.
Yeah, he did his thing. And so we talked about Old Thing Back features your son. And this is his debut feature. Is that correct?
His debut feature with me.
With you, okay.
His own record this past couple of months. He went on tour with me in the UK. And he did a song called SDM.
Okay.
Where he did his dad's song Over. Uh-huh. And it went viral. So if you pull him up on Spotify, Swavo Twain, you can pull up SDM and probably get your mind blown.
And how proud was it like having him on that project, on this project with you?
Oh, I was just elated to have him out there on tour because he was so well received. Mm-hmm. You know, they loved it over there.
Yeah.
He did this venue called the Soho House overseas, and OMG turned it out.
Did it?
Oh, yeah. It was great. We did it together.
Yeah. It's no surprising that he's such a great artist, you know, a great artist. I have to ask, you know, we recently lost Tina Turner. What were your thoughts when you heard, I mean, she had such an amazing career and inspires many people. What were your thoughts when you heard about her passing?
Well, we don't ever like to hear that someone's journey has ended.
Right.
But I have to tell you, I was not as sad as a lot of people were sad because we would be so blessed to live 83 long years. Yes. I thought Tina Turner had a very full life. Mm-hmm. I thought that if anybody had accomplished anything, she had absolutely beat the odds. She was living her dream life. And was able to bring so much joy to others. Of course, we are always shocked and hurt to lose an icon like a Tina Turner. But as with Cicely Tyson and so many of the other greats that we lost, but when they live past 80 years old, I can just take my hat off to them and thank God for their long, lengthy life and pray to God that we have the same fortune.
Absolutely. Who were some of your early inspirations when you were younger, when you were a young little girl? Who did you look up to? Or
I used to look up to, of course, Aretha Franklin, Chaka Khan, Gladys Knight and the Pips, Betty Wright, Al Green, Marvin Gaye, Curtis Mayfield. Uh-huh. These people, you know, they landslid for me. They were incredible artists. And they did it like nobody else. Mavis Staples.
Yeah.
You know, they just had a foundation that was unshakable.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this month is Black Music Month. What does that mean to you as an artist who, again, who has done so much and been so accomplished? What does that mean, this month, mean to you?
Black Music Month is a month that they've carved out to recognize Black music, and it's okay, but there is 12 months in a year. And I have to say that we are owed more than 1 month because so much of our lives is played from January to December. Yeah. So I'll take a month, but you can give me 5 more to go along with that, and we'll have half the year. I then feel blessed to know that you guys are respecting the game because Black music has been the core foundation for all music, the gospel roots of all music, it comes from, the foundation of Blackness. Absolutely. And what we have to realize and recognize is every day and every month should be Black History Month for us, Black Music Month. It should just be music. Yeah. And that is the highest form of praise you can give to God. So my thing is, why just do 1 month? Every month should be that of praise for music. Is our gift to the world.
Yep. And our music impacts so many other different kind of genres, every kind of genre.
Right.
So
right.
I get that. Who was your dream collaborator? Who's someone?
Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill. That would be dope.
Mm-hmm.
That would be dope. That'd be dope. We got to make that.
I hope she knows that because I say it every time they ask me. She is so dope, it's ridiculous. But once again, you know, it's hard to touch the incredible. She's incredible.
Yeah, and you are too. You are too.
Oh, thank you.
So I know you're currently on the road promoting this album. And I know you, like you said, prior to working on and creating it, you were kind of apprehensive. How does it feel? You know, still, obviously you've been on the road all these years. Is it still fun? Is it still exciting, or is it work?
The part of it that's fun is when you have a hit record and everybody is singing it and you just standing there. You just put the mic out there. You ain't got to work that hard. That's fun. Okay, and I'm keeping it 100. But I'll tell you something. Nobody likes to make a bad record. No. So I think anytime you hit the ball out of the park, it's a good time. But I think that when you have the gift of song, and you're out front, it is your responsibility to make that moment as magical as possible. So for me, it's all magical. When I'm out there in that road, I have a responsibility to the world, but most importantly to God. And that's what I'm trying to do, reach the people.
Yeah. Like, again, you look amazing. The album is called Love Language. Again, our thanks go out to Angie Stone for joining us tonight. Her album, Love Language, is available now. Go get it. Go cop it. Wherever you buy your music. And for more information, please go to our website, thestephenknightshow.com, and we will be right back after this.
All right.
To feel like a woman, she wants to feel her inner champion. She wants to feel her worth. Born with a nurturing hand, always thinking of a master plan to build someone else up. It's the soul of a woman. It's the soul of a woman. It's the soul of a woman. A woman. A woman. Every woman is living with a sixth sense. She's not common, she's got a special lens. Her intuition is razor sharp. Every sister wants to stand strong, so you can have someone you can lean on, help you carry on, help you hold on in good times and in bad. It's the soul of a woman. It's the soul of a woman. It's the soul of a woman. A woman. A woman. mountain she can't climb. No, she's ascending as we speak. It's just a matter of time. There's no problem she can't solve. She's got a strength, a level head, self-respect most of all. It's the soul of a woman. It's the soul of a woman. It's the soul.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Adam, how is DC? I heard y'all have some weather.
We're having what?
You had some weather?
Yeah. I mean, like every part of the world, we do have weather. And the weather here was actually pretty rainy last week during the week, but the weekend was nice, actually. I was able to go visit the local pool I made in my backyard and take it easy.
Nice.
Can't beat it.
No, not at all. So it's good. How about you guys?
Yeah, you know, weather was good this weekend, but yesterday we had a really bad storm and my power ain't flickered, but power down the some of these stores, they were out for, but let me tell you, so I went to get some wine from the liquor store, right? And they were, I said it was black, like a convenience store is black. They had that line out there and they would go get what you want and they took Cash App.
Wow.
They came prepared for something like that.
Wow. Yeah, well, if anything the pandemic has taught us is, yeah, right. Be prepared to sell whatever you can.
I said, what's this line? Just tell us you what, we'll get it. Here's our Cash App.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so. But anyway, I'll let y'all take away movie reviews.
Sure thing. So I actually didn't get a chance to check out the latest and greatest, but I know Chike will tell us all about The Flash when his time comes, so I'm excited to hear about that. But I did check a couple of series out, and one is actually the latest in the long list of Marvel TV shows. But this one stars Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury, and it's called Secret Invasion, and it just came out. And this story is part of Marvel's Phase 5 of whatever they're doing with their cinematic universe, and Nick Fury is back on Earth. We don't know why he wasn't on Earth. He was on some space station, it sounds like, but I'm sure we'll learn more as we go along the way. But in this series, he's going to be hunting Skrulls. And if anyone remembers Captain Marvel, the Skrulls were the people who can change their appearance to look like anyone. And so he is on a mission to find a terrorist cell of Skrulls that want to cause some mayhem on Earth, because instead of finding a new home, like we learned in Captain Marvel, these Skrulls want to make Earth their home. So it's going to be kind of a fun spy type adventure where you don't know who's really who's changing into what. But so far it's fun. It's on par with kind of the traditional TV shows that Marvel's been putting out. I think it's a little better. Mainly, I think the strength is Samuel Jackson bringing to the role. I mean, he is looking old, but, you know, he still does a great job. He has that on-screen presence. And it'll be something interesting to keep watching, especially with kind of the way they're doing the multiverse. I think we're getting a lot of multiverse going on, so it's good to kind of shift away from that. And even though the Skrulls can turn into anything, leaving you guessing for more, I think it's a little bit better than kind of having the multiple universes. And then the other show I'm watching is, of course, season 2 of The Bear. And I don't remember if either of you have seen the first season of The Bear, but it's about this Chicago sandwich shop. This chef comes back to take over this sandwich shop that his brother passed away, and so he's taking over, and he used to work at a highly acclaimed Michelin star restaurant. So now he came back and he was helping out the restaurant, and the series is really good. It actually ended in a way that they didn't need to do another season, but as we know with anything that's popular, money talks, and so they produced a second season. This season, they have some money back, and now they're trying to rebrand the sandwich shop as a better restaurant than what it is. But season 1 was so good. This season is good so far. I'm a few episodes in. But if you're looking for something, and Hulu released them all at once, so you can binge watch the whole season, then check out The Bear. Really big fan. And that's it for me on TV shows. I will make also one more point out one more thing. Into the Spider-Verse, the Spider-Man animated feature, is back at the number one spot over the weekend. And it seems to be just all around good time. People are loving this movie. And we also learned that there are different versions of the movie out. There's only been confirmed at least 2 versions, but they have made multiple versions of the movie that appears in different theaters. So I don't know if that helped it get back to the number one spot. But I think that's a really cool feature. If you're going to do a multiverse and you're going to do such a good movie, it's nice to know you can go back and see if you can catch something different the next time you go see it.
That's a good gotcha, Marvel. My hat's off to you.
Yeah.
You need to pay attention.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I have a question about The Bear. So are there the same producers that did Shameless? Because it has the same kind of texture to it.
That's a good question. I've actually never seen Shameless.
Okay.
So I can't tell you. I know it's the same guy. The main actor is the same guy that was in Shameless. So there's probably a little bit of overlap. But yeah, I couldn't say for sure.
Okay. All right. So I saw The Flash starring Ezra Miller, Michael Keaton, Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, Jason Momoa, and George Clooney. If you have not seen the film, you might not want to listen to what I'm going to talk about because I'm going to be spoiling all over the place. So I did some reading and some research, and I found out that the movie sequence had got changed. Flash was supposed to be the last movie, and Aquaman was supposed to come before, and the Blue Beetle was supposed to come after Aquaman. But all of that got rearranged. The Flash got moved up, Aquaman got pushed back, and it had to do with the writer's strike and also COVID. Both affected the schedules. After knowing that, seeing The Flash, it would have been better received if it was the last movie after Aquaman. Because technically, Blue Beetle starts the brand new cycle. It starts everything over again. So I will say that the Flash movie I thought was stupendous. The whole premise of having time in a multiverse with different dimensions happening, that means that the story can go any place. They could make it up on the fly if they wanted to, just because. And I just thought it was so cool how they messed with the past storylines of the Batman and Justice League and the history of Superman. I mean, I don't want to tell you too much stuff, but they went all the way back.
Yeah, yeah.
All the way back. And it was just such a, it, like my heart got warm a little bit because that was my childhood. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And so technically this was supposed to be everyone that's involved in the universe's last movie for this cycle of DC, because they're starting with all new actors. So it being placed where it is, it's kind of a bummer because now you're going to get this Aquaman movie and it's going to be out of place. We're going to get it and you're going to watch it. You may even fall in love with it, but it has no place.
Yeah, it, I feel
the
like
universe is starting over.
Yeah. What's the point of watching Aquaman when you know that everything's being reset?
Right, but they have to recoup their money.
Yeah,
but it was a great story. There was great utilization of the past storylines and certain characters. Great usage. I give it thumbs up. Go check it out. Just see, what? Especially if you're a fan of DC.
Yeah, one thing I've heard is, and I guess the directors kind of tried to defend it, is some of the CGI is kind of off, and he said that
it
was intentional.
CGI-ish.
It looks
CGI-ish, but I could forgive it. I could forgive it. I mean, I've watched The Matrix and seen some things, but I can forgive it.
So it doesn't throw you off. It doesn't take away from you're watching.
Not to me. No. So the next film that I saw was Evil Dead Rise. If anyone is a fan of the Evil Dead, the old cult classic that they remade. And I guess they're going in tradition of the old Evil Dead movies, but the premises have changed. So like the locations of where the possessions happen have changed, but it's following the cycle of the Evil Dead storyline. I thought that it really hung in there with the brand. It's a standalone movie, but you want to see the series. It has those moments like the old Evil Dead where some moments are actually funny instead of scary. But then, you know, they get you with the gross stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's the
signature.
The pathology of Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Gross and scary and sometimes funny and absurd. Yeah, because it gets really absurd. But definitely, I appreciate it. Check it out. It wouldn't be a great movie movie for me, like going to the theater, I probably wouldn't do that. The Flash, I would go to the theater to see, but not this. And the rest are series. I don't know what you're watching on TV. Black Mirror, and Just Like That is the new season. Star Trek, brand new Star Trek, Strange New Worlds on Paramount. That's pretty good. I like that.
I've heard good things about it. Yeah.
Yeah. This new series called I'm a Virgo by Boots Rawlins. If you do not know who Boots Rawlins is, please check out some of his art. He's the same guy that made Sorry to Bother You. Mm-hmm. He's a little quirky, kind of reminds you of like the Atlanta show a little bit, but he's a little bit quirkier.
Okay.
The Righteous Gemstones on Max, and The Idol on Max. That very adult show that new children should watch.
It's been getting awful reviews, but yeah.
I don't know. I'm giving it a chance.
Okay. I've heard there's no chemistry with the leads. The writing's bad.
It's the most popular show on, the most popular on there.
What do you mean?
They're saying how, I think they were saying about how the ratings are so high on this, on that show.
Who's saying that?
I saw an article the other day.
So you know what it gives me?
That gossip article.
And I know what it, why it gives me this now. It's because it's the same producers. I just thought about it. It gives me that the temperature of Euphoria. It's not quite as good as Euphoria, but it gives you that temperature. It's because it's the same producers.
Yeah. Well, I did watch a movie yesterday, and Adam's gonna laugh because it's The Perfect Find on Netflix. And the only reason why I watched is because someone said it's everything you think it's gonna be.
Of course.
And so it features Gabrielle Union, Keith Powers, Lala Anthony's in there, Aisha Hinds, and some other people. But it's very like, you know exactly what it is.
Paint by numbers, one of those things where you know exactly where
you know exactly going. Where this thing is going. But the only thing is the ending is very, it just leaves you like, oh, that's how we end? Okay. Anyway, so I watched that. But it's a quick hour, 30-minute movie.
Nice.
You know, I was talking most of the time, so you know. But anyways,
it's a roll.
You're right. But so I love the series on Netflix called Selling Sunset. It's with the real estate agent, you know, they deal with millionaires and billionaires, you know, the real estate. I just love seeing how people, and you got some money, how you can live. And and so it's interesting. So this season, Nick Cannon, one of his baby mamas, she's joined the cast. And she recently got into real estate, but she's been successful in it. And she knows a lot of people. So she has billion-dollar clients and a lot of people in the industry and things like that. And so, you know, she's had the baby's less than a year old or whatever. And so there's someone on the cast, I think, joined last year. And she's, because most of the women are white women, but they have diversified it, you know, throughout since it's been picked up. So there's one woman, she's from London or something, you know, she's a black woman. And so, you know, Nick Cannon's child's mom, I don't know what she is. She's mixed with, you know, I don't know what she's mixed with. Anyway, but the black girl really has a problem with the way her relationship is. Like, cause she says, she calls Nick Cannon my man. She says they have an open relationship. I don't care if I'm having other kids. Apparently they had all gone out. And that's when the tabloids hit that he just had another child. And she had no idea that anyone was even pregnant. And so anyway, it was interesting, but it was kind of like, okay, you said what you had to say. You don't agree with this, but why you keep talking about it? You know what I mean? And so anyway, but it's actually a really good series. But I really love it for the homes, because you have money, you can see how people can really, really live. Mm-hmm. And you see these homes, you're thinking, I know they have to have a staff. You know, the homes are so huge. But yeah, that was good. I think it was 12 episodes, 10 or 12 episodes, but I watched it maybe in 3 days. I didn't even know it was out. I just was going through Netflix for something. I said, oh, new season. But don't show you what I watch. But
yep.
But yeah, that's all for me. Anything coming out of pipeline?
Yeah, so a couple things on my pipeline. I know I talk about it like every week, but Indiana Jones, I am going to check it out. I just got to see how it goes and how it ends. And it seems to be kind of the big like lead up to July 4th release. And then also Witcher season 3 releases this week. So this is Henry Cavill's last ride as the Witcher. They'll replace him in season 4, but I'm a big fan of the series. I know some people liked it, some people didn't like it as much, but that kind of fantasy swords and sorcery world is always fun.
Yeah. I missed the opening of The Blackening. I wanted to check that out just to see what it was about. I was curious.
Did it already come out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it already came out.
Okay.
Definitely Blue Beetle, Mission Impossible, because it is my belief that, Tom Cruise does not put out any bad movies. I have not seen a bad Tom Cruise movie. Indiana Jones, of course.
Adam's thinking.
I'm thinking, I don't know. You're right. You might be right. I mean, I haven't seen all of his movies, so I can't tell you. But yeah, he does good work.
Yeah. And The Meg. They're doing The Meg too.
Nice. Well, guys, as always, thank you for letting us spend our time and our money on. My picks are always the best. And
of course.
Hope you have a great summer break, and we will see you in September.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Right back after this.
So raw, so sweet, stay fly, low key. I need love that's all about me. Consider, keep clean. Got a vibe so raw, so sweet, stay fly, low key. I need love that's all about me. Going through the motion just to keep a smile on your face. Baby, just be honest. Who you gonna find to take my place? So sweet, stay fly, low key. I need love that's all about me. Consider, keep clean. Got a vibe so raw, so sweet. Stay fly, low key. I need love that's all about me.
Hey, everybody, it's Charles Jenkins, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight our Black-owned business. It is Happy Mango. Happy Mango is an eco-friendly baby, pregnancy, and kids boutique in Kirkwood with strollers, car seats, clothing, toys, and more by, try to say his name right, Panoia Fredrickson. Shop brands like Eco Kids, Nuna, Veer, Pan Toys, Negu, and more. Check them out. There'll be a bio on the link of this video. Our thanks goes out to Angie Stone for joining us tonight. Don't forget her new album, Love Language, is available wherever you buy your music. Hope you have a great summer, and we'll see you in September. Good night.
Everything's gonna be alright. And when we get there, I'ma see a pretty, pretty, pretty young thing. I'ma ask her to take my hand, head to the floor, and we gon' dance. And when we get there, best believe we're gonna do a two-step. Ain't no drawing here, so don't stress. Step to the right, then side to the left.